Play the music.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome back to The Table,
a podcast where I'm Tyler,
I'm Cody,
and you're watching Disney Channel.
Bum, 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 bum.
And here's me right drawing the Mickey thing. I think I could do that if given the chance.
I feel like that I think I could, but I feel like I would just draw something else.
You see those bloopers on the TV of people trying to do, I'm just like.
The TV.
The telly. You see, like, how do you not do it? Like,
I don't know, man. So, I feel like it's. Like, you're doing it, but you're, yeah. like, even, I can tell from over here, like, your angle's a little off.
Well, that's also because I don't want to hit the mic.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Had I had free range, it would have been
Could I have done it my way?
Right.
They can fix that in post.
So, if you haven't gathered, today we got a very special show for y'all.
This is going to be fun.
I'm very excited.
I have been looking forward to it, and you, the people, you spoke.
Yes. You did this.
And if you didn't speak, you could have. So what we did is over on Instagram, we asked you, what would you like for us to record next? And the option was our thoughts on Finding Nemo or another split topic. Now, be not confused. More split topic shows are coming.
In the very near future.
But for what we were going to record next, the people voted Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
And so we're here today to serve you that.
Yes, I'm very excited. Now, of course, this is like, we don't own the rights to anything. This is not copyright or anything. We don't want to get quality control from the mouse.
No, this is just us verbalizing our opinions, thoughts, and possibly a few facts.
Huh? Gosh.
He's here, Tyler. He's among us.
He's watching us.
He's among us. Mickey, with all due respect, go away. I'm very excited about this, and you know, as we typically do with our thoughts, we're just gonna dive right in.
So excited.
Wow. I'm gonna try not to make too many puns, but
that'd be great.
So we're talking about today, we're talking about Finding Nemo, which was released in theaters on May the 30th, 2003.
Wow.
Yeah, and then it was released on DVD and VHS on November 4th, 2003. We're talking VHS.
You want to know how I know that, brother?
Because you had it.
Well, not only that, but November 4th was my birthday.
Yeah, it was.
And Mama worked at Walmart, and got it for me the day of the release.
That's beautiful.
She got me the VHS version, too.
We're going to save money, mijo. We're not going to get the DVD. Right, we're exactly. going to get the VHS.
Yeah, I had the VHS Finding Nemo, like, on the day of the release.
It had the super thick plastic.
Oh, 100%.
Like, cover thing.
Yup.
But it was so beautifully gorgeous. Colored and vibrant. It had Crush. Crush was on the...
Yeah,
the
exactly.
I could see it in my mind's
Same.
Eye. Finding Nemo, directed by Andrew Stanton, who is also the voice of Crush.
What a guy.
I know, right? He's righteous. His films, his work includes co-writing and co-directing Bug's Life, directing Ooh. Finding Nemo and the sequel, Finding Dory,
yes.
Wally, the live-action film John Carter, which I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
So we'll just... There, he's done better work.
Right.
He co-wrote all four of the Toy Story films.
Oh, wow.
And Monsters, Inc. So he's
what
got
a guy.
He's got some experience.
Yeah, he's got a pretty stacked resume.
Yes, indeed. Finding Dory, listen to me. We'll get to it later. Right now we're talking about Finding Nemo.
Hint, hint.
Which stars Albert Brooks as Marlin, Ellen DeGeneres as Dory, and Alexander Gould, G-O-U-L-D.
Yeah.
As Nemo.
Wow.
Yeah. And so got a cast that you know and love there. Now, the film had a budget of $94 million.
Oh.
And it had a box office return of $940.3 million.
Wow.
Yeah. Finding Nemo is the best-selling DVD title of all time, with over 40 million copies sold as of 2006, and was the highest-grossing G-rated film of all time before Pixar's own Toy Story 3 overtook it. So
but that was a big year difference.
Yeah.
Wow. It stayed up there for a while.
For a long time.
Wow.
So needless to say, people like that Nemo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, right. And we're going to get into that today.
And so here we are. So I'm going to go ahead and say it, brother, right off the bat.
Yo.
This is one of my favorite movies of all time.
So, look, so I rewatched it recently, and I found myself even more engrossed in it. Like, I was genuinely laughing. There were parts where I was, like, super sad. Like, I was super invested. I was just very appreciative. And also, I was quoting, like, the entire thing.
Well, it has some of the best quotes of all time.
Of all time.
There's some quotes that people say.
To this day.
And they don't even necessarily realize, oh, yeah, that one came from Finding Nemo? Yep. Yeah, it did, friend.
Yep.
It sure did.
So good. It literally, so going into it, like, I'm assuming we're just going to go from top to finish on some certain things.
Sure. We can strive to do that.
Well, it, right. Exactly.
Well, as we go too, I have some fun facts about the movie that I'll sprinkle in as appropriate. So pardon me if I interrupt you.
You're good. Yeah. You're good. The intro, the little prologue with Marlon and his wife. Look, so I love their interaction.
Yeah.
And I hate that she did not have a lot of screen time.
Well, about that, the first fact I have for you here is, so in the original script, it had a different treatment for the Barracuda incident.
Really?
Yeah. So what they were going to do at first is the director was going to, reveal what happened to Marlon's wife and kids in periodic flashbacks as the movie progressed.
Oh, Lord.
Ultimately, the technique made the revelation obvious and anticlimactic while making Marlon feel substantially less likable, so the script changed. And I think for the better.
Yeah,
I'm glad
for sure
that they started off with this right here.
It was a very powerful intro. Yeah. Like, I was like, this got heavy. Like, I couldn't, I remembered. It was brought to my attention, my remembrance, how intense that area was.
Right.
I was like, whoa, like, how sad, you know, like, he just lost everything. But their interaction, he and his wife, like,
the relationship was so good.
Yeah. I was just like, which made I want more of this.
It just goes to speak to, like, how good Pixar is. Her name's Coral, I believe.
Yes.
Which is great.
Right.
Even in the little bit of time that we have with her, you just love her to death.
I know. And like, they established such a relationship in such a short time.
Yeah. Like, her personality was great. I don't know who voiced her, but her voice actress was great.
Yeah.
Just a really, a loss for us all, really.
Really. It was.
And one thing I noticed, I don't know if this was intentional or not. Maybe it was. When the movie opens with just the scene of the ocean.
Gorgeous,
and you've got,
first of all.
Right. Well, it's gorgeous. And you've got Coral just saying, wow.
Yeah.
Or Marlon. Marlon. He's going, wow. She's like, no, I see it. I really do see it.
Yeah.
I think that they were giving you, the viewer, the opportunity to share that moment of, like, because think about it. We're in 2003.
Yeah.
And here's Finding Nemo, and we're all just like,
wow.
Yeah.
That's literally one of my notes, is that the animation was gorgeous.
Oh, my word. Well, and speaking of that, another fun fact.
Please.
About the water.
That's one of the specific things I wanted to comment on.
Here's what's crazy about the water. The animation of the ocean was deemed too realistic at the beginning. Now, what we saw in the film is
what
they had to scale
tone down.
They had to tone it down because they had created water that was so realistic. They had fears that people would believe they just went and videoed the ocean. Especially in scenes where it's like you see the top of the ocean and there's the pelicans and this and that. So they actually brought it down a notch so that it would be, like, amazing, but not too, too real.
That's crazy.
That is, especially when you see, like, the amount of water
ocean.
Right.
The entire ocean.
Yeah. The ocean.
See, and what, like, other things in regards to that, like, whenever the fish came out of the water, like, the effect it had on them, like, you could tell that they were wet, you know?
Right.
Like, it was just gorgeously animated.
It's beautiful.
I couldn't imagine it being more, like, realistic. I'm like, my brain can't comprehend that. Obviously, it can because it's CGI, but, like I couldn't comprehend what that would look like.
Especially back then. Like, what if they would have just let it go? Because, see, Finding Dory, it did, in my opinion, especially in the aquarium that's inside the aquarium. Like the big one, you know what I'm talking about, where she winds up. That
spoiler.
Looks, that yeah. Well, I mean, you don't know why.
Right.
By the way.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Very,
if for some reason you have not seen this movie, first of all, go watch it. What's wrong with you?
Huge spoilers, obviously.
Right. And then come back and listen.
At this point, you already know what happens at the beginning.
Right. Well, I mean, it doesn't play that big of a part for the rest of the movie.
It plays a pretty big
part. I mean, it sets up the entire movie, but they don't really reference that event.
Right. You know, anyway, spoilers.
Sorry.
So Marlin,
for the three of you that haven't seen Finding Nemo, right.
Marlin is not very creative because they have all these babies and he wants to name all of them Marlin Jr.
he said, well, we'll name this half Marlin Jr.
We'll name this half Marlin Jr. and this half Coral Jr. Right. Okay, we're done. And then she's like, I like Nemo.
We'll name one Nemo.
And then he only has one left.
Stop
it. And so they name him.
Nemo.
It's okay, Daddy's here. How sad.
That broke my heart. And I was sitting at work today watching it, just like tears in my eyes.
Well, and then he becomes this super helicopter parent.
Yo.
And it stressed me. It was so stressful.
I get it.
Well, he had his family and his wife massacred.
Well, in front of him. He had, what, 400 kids?
Yeah, and they're all gone, like, in an instant, yeah. And his wife.
Golly.
So I understand, but yeah.
Yeah, that was, but like, even the interaction with the other dads, that was really realistic, too. Like, they gave every single character, like, a vivid personality. Like, there wasn't, like, that's a side character. It's like, wow, this character's great.
These could each have, like, their own little short movies.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, it was like, I wanted to see more of all of them.
Yeah.
You know? There wasn't one where I was just like, you exist. Kind of thing. Like, it was, they were all funny. Like, they all had a few lines, but just by that, you could tell everything about the personality. You know what I mean?
And I related to Marlin whenever the fish is like, oh, you're a clownfish. You're funny, right? Hey, tell us a joke. I'm like, that's like when people say, oh, you're from the South. You like sweet tea, right? No, friend, I don't like sweet tea.
Right.
So, yeah, I related to him in that moment.
Yeah, I feel that. So, obviously, skipping forward past the big plot point, unless you had any notes on that with Nemo and
what happens.
Yeah.
Well, there's a man.
Well, right.
In the water.
Right.
And he takes Nemo.
Right. Well, I appreciated whenever he took a picture of Marlin that he kind of went sideways in his eye. So it kind of looked like a realistic fish at
it
that
point.
It
disoriented him for sure.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that's why they do that whenever we take pictures
of them. So whenever we don't take pictures of them, they look like...
And they talk and they speak English.
Right, exactly. You know,
with perfect accents and this and that.
Oh, man. No, but so that happens. And of course... My next note, I really want to get to this part. If you want to back up a little bit, we can. But
we can do what we want.
Bruce.
Oi!
Terrified the mess out of me as a kid.
Hello?
Stop it. Like like the sound you hear and then like the huge smile and just...
Oh, yeah.
Gave me the heebie-jeebies.
So Bruce, he comes.
Hello.
And yeah. And he has an Australian accent.
I can't.
And... he's like, nah, it was Bruce.
And it's so loud.
It is so loud. And you think immediately, of course, oh, no.
Right.
This is going to be.
Well, the music, like the way he words everything.
Yeah.
The way he like just comes back and bites really fast. All of that was terrifying. And if I remember correctly, it's significantly louder than the parts prior to that.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a lot.
Well, and even the way he said, like, he was like, what's a couple of bites like? Can you do it so light? By the way, before we go any further, shout out to our listeners in Australia.
Yeah.
We love you.
Good on you.
And good on you, mate. but yeah, Bruce was terrifying. And then the way he just kind of like, the way he takes them.
Yeah, he's just he's like, just you're like, obviously coming.
Come on, I insist, you know. And he's taking them. And Dory's like, oh, to a party? And he's like, yeah, right. A party.
A party. That's,
what do you say?
What?
And then they see the balloons.
Right. Oh, man.
He's like, mind your distance, though. Those balloons can be a bit touchy.
So, well, that's what I was going to say. Like, whatever there's, first of all, their escape thing, I remember that being the funniest thing in the world.
Oh, escape?
Yes.
Escape. Escape.
I still say that.
You know, it's funny. It looks very much like the word escape.
To this day, I say escape. Like, if I'm, like, reading something, I'm like, escape.
Well, then Marla has the rebel. He's like, wait, you can read? She's like, I can read? Oh, yeah, I can read. Well, then here, read this.
Man, and then whenever they, like, pop the balloon and just, like, ding.
Oh, and then everything. Swim away.
the bubbles come up by that. That bubbles come up by that pelican. And he's like, nice.
and then just flies away with disgust. What a terrible time.
Oh my gosh, that was so good. Well, then it cuts to the fish tank.
The fish tank is
hilarious.
Those guys are the homies.
I love those guys. I want to be friends with all of those guys.
They each have they're
the
just,
best personality.
They're so good.
Well, one note I had. Gil was unnecessarily intense.
Well,
why are you brooding? You are a fish.
Well, and that's the thing. Gil
was attacked by a shark.
Was a villainous character in an earlier version of the story.
Really?
Yeah. So it says here, while the combination of somber, let's see, let me get it right over here where I can read it better. While the combination of somber coloration, a scowling beak, and the menacing vocals of William Dafoe render Nemo's fish tank pal Gil an intimidating presence, we learn soon enough that he is in fact a good guy who has the best interests of his fellow captives at heart.
More or less.
Right. The original cut of Finding Nemo was more ambiguous about Gil's integrity, however, making him the owner of a falsified identity that he swiped from a nautical-themed children's book housed in the dentist's waiting room. So at first he was going to be the bad, because if you really look at it, there's no bad guy in this movie. There's Darla.
Yeah.
You know, but she's just being a kid. She's not like a, she's not, I mean, she's a fish killer, but she's not like doing it. She's just a kid, you know, but in their eyes, she's a fish killer. So she's technically the quote unquote bad guy.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to know that originally it was going to be Gil.
I wonder if that would have worked out. Like obviously there was that moment where he tried to get Nemo to help with a thing at the risk of his safety.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I guess they would have leaned more into that, or like done something selfish for only him to escape.
I think it would have eventually came to that, because it says here that he, and I actually looked further into this, and what I read was there's these children's books here in the dentist's office, and he has heard it read time and time again, and he tells Nemo all these stories of like what he's been through and this and that.
Yeah.
And I think that it would come to like he earns Nemo's trust, and then he ultimately turns on everyone when Nemo finds a real way to get out of the tank.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel
that. That's just thinking about it.
So after that, they cut to, like, so the escape part was the funniest part to me as a kid. The funniest part to me as an adult is the following scene with them going down the trench.
And she's just
my Lord.
She's nonchalant. Just like,
first of all, my first comment is the songs in this this movie are iconic.
Oh yeah,
there are multiple songs in this movie that are just like my theme song.
Oh really?
Yes.
Do tell.
Right. Well, the following is a montage of Disney Pixar's Finding Nemo songs as follows. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do we do? We swim, swim. I'm not going to do the rest of it. I could.
Thank you for not doing the rest of it. I appreciate you very much.
So they're going down to the trench, and she's
going down.
A bunch of comments that are killing me. She's like, wow, who was that? Who was that? It's me. She's like, are you my conscience?
Well, and they're going down because they dropped the mask.
Yeah, right.
That
right,
has
right.
the information they need on it.
Right. And he's like, yes, yes, sir. I'm your conscience.
We haven't spoken for a while.
How are you? Can't complain.
Oh, good, good, good. It's so funny.
Well, then, of course, they have the interaction with the fish, which
is more terrifying than Bruce.
Well, not to me.
Really?
Like, the Bruce thing was just really, like, unsettling. The fish thing, like, yeah, that was scary, but the Bruce thing was just unsettling, which is a different kind of scary to me.
Isn't it interesting, though, how they have some characters like Bruce, who's like, he's a character.
Yeah.
And then there's this fish who's just like, a fish
to bite.
He's like, that fish doesn't have a voice actor. That's a fish, you know? Yeah, like he's a monster trying to eat Marlin and Dory.
Good.
Well, Dory, because now we're kind of talking about her a lot, Dory was originally written as a male.
Really?
Yeah. So here's what happened. So Andrew Stanton, the guy who directed it, he originally wrote the role of Dory as male. But one day while he was writing, he had an episode of Ellen DeGeneres' show playing in the background. She changed the subject while she was talking about 5 times in the space of a few minutes, and Stanton realized that she would be perfect for the character, so he changed the character to female with DeGeneres specifically in mind.
Wow, that's really cool.
And then apparently reached out to whoever he needed to, and she became the character. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, she obviously played a very iconic role in that film, one of which being her crucial part in the next song in our Finding Nemo soundtrack, which is Marlon starts out here. He's like, no eating here tonight.
No eating here tonight.
You on a diet.
that one right there, even as an adult, like you can't help but laugh at it.
I remember it's coming.
Yeah. You know it's coming. And it's like you sing it along with it.
You on a diet. Literally, I remember singing that, like, just walking around the house as a kid.
Well, and
ironically, I was not on a diet.
Well, now it's like you have to sing that to yourself to, like, as a disciplinary measure. Right,
and with all the snacks in my house.
Like, well, it's like I'm driving past all these restaurants. It's like, no eating here tonight.
You on a diet.
It's so good. And can we just, Tyler, before we go any further, I've just got one thing I've got to say.
Yeah.
P. Sherman, 42, Wallaby Way, Sydney.
Exactly.
P. Sherman, 42, Wallaby Way, Sydney. She says it how many times?
So many times.
Because she's so happy about the fact that she remembers it.
Yep. And that was a big deal.
And I'm like, friend, I can relate.
Like, same. Like if I remember what my keys are or something
Hey, glory. Thank you, Lord. But it's like, man, we will never forget P. Sherman 42 no, while
absolutely
we
not. It's like at the end of the movie whenever she hears Sydney and then all of it comes flashing back to her. That's like us every time we hear P. Sherman 42 while we wait Sydney. Right. The entire movie plays in our head.
In like 2 seconds.
Right.
I low key want my last words to be 42.
P. Sherman 42 Wallaby Way. It's like it's like on your deathbed.
P. Sherman 42 Wallaby Way.
Wallaby Way. City.
And then I croak.
So the next song, which is another amazing part of the movie, we're back in the fish tank.
Oh yes.
And it's Shark Bait's initiation.
Shall we?
Isn't
there another way? He's just a boy.
And you got Jacques in the background.
So for those that don't know, that is Tyler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tyler is Jacques in the background.
Basically.
Like that's just you.
Oh man. Oh, that's
and when he goes and retrieves Nemo, he's like, swim me blah. And then he walks away and he was like, huh? And he's like, follow me.
Same.
Jacques is so good.
Yo, I love Jacques. Voila, he's clean.
And then when they catch him cleaning the tank, he's like, I'm ashamed. And what's so funny is like, Sarah will be cleaning something and be like, voila, he is clean.
Look, another thing that, and we've quoted this several times before, even before we talked about doing in our thoughts on this, is Mount Wanahakaluki. Like we just said that about random things. Like I forget in what context.
Well, the context has to be there, but we have said it.
We have said it before. For sure. And that, like, that's it's just so iconic. Well, you know,
and there's so many of those in this movie.
100%.
Like we could. We're not, but we could do a show of just saying our favorite Finding Nemo.
If you
Nemo
want
quotes.
Us to, we can. I mean, we'll basically be quoting the whole movie.
Maybe we'll do it for the Patreon, for our Patreon family one day. Where we just like do our best impressions and stuff.
That was such a good scene that I don't understand. I mean,
it was such a build up. And then he just swims through it.
Yeah.
Because especially with
Welcome, Brother Shark Tank. Or Shark Bait. Enough of the Shark Bait. Shark Bait.
And are we going to just not talk about the Bubbles guy?
Maybe.
Me when I open a soda.
Taylor, whenever you blow bubbles around her.
Right.
Taylor's our 2-year-old niece.
Love her so much.
Shout out to Taylor. You the best with this.
There it is.
Right. You the best with this.
Per popular request.
Right.
No,
so the First of all, that scene was in, like, the lighting was, like, how'd they get the lighting like that?
Friend, it looked so good. It put you back in, like, because there was times whenever, I never had a fish tank.
Yeah.
But there was times whenever I would stay over at Cousin Robbie's house, and they had a couple of fish tanks.
Right.
And it's like, the room is dark, but there's like the lights from the fish tank.
Yeah.
And it gives, it still to this day, gives me that same vibe of, like, it puts me back there where I was like, man, that's a fish tank. There's fishes in there.
There's a whole life in there.
There's a life. There's a whole, and apparently a whole ecosystem.
Right.
And a social gathering taking place.
Yeah, rituals going on.
Right. We have some sort of a plot to get out.
Right.
There's a leader. There's some followers. Right,
Lord have mercy. Look, so going forward, the school of fish.
The school of fish.
I want to say that those mean old fish ignored Marlin first. He's like, excuse me. And then they just swam away.
Oh, yeah. The one where
they were being mean to Marlin.
They make the formation of the one fish.
Right.
And they're like shape shifting. Like,
blah, 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 yeah. Blah, 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 me, me, me.
Yeah.
Like they're just being mean to Marlin all because Dory started crying. You mean you don't? Like me?
No, it's not that I don't like you. It's because I like you. Yeah, I don't want to be with you. It's a difficult emotion.
Oop. I've used that one before. No, I'm kidding.
Anyway, but that moment of him trying to explain to her before that, like,
yeah,
he's like, I think that it would be better if I just go forward, you know, by myself. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, she's like,
you know, alone. Uh-huh.
Sure. Yeah.
So, well, I just can't afford any delays, and you're one of those fish who cause delays. He just kind of lays it out there.
The best. But then when those fish came back and they were just so mean, I'm like, bruh, now you want to pay attention? Like,
hey, they know Sydney.
Look, whenever she came back and was asking him, like talking to him about it, and she's like, your son Chico? And he's like, Nemo.
That's one of those things that she can never remember his name.
Those are the funniest
it's
parts.
It's so funny.
he's lost his son, Fabio.
And then even at the end, whenever it's like really serious, and he's like, I promised I would never let anything happen to him. That's a funny thing to promise. You can't never let anything happen to him. Then nothing would ever happen to him. Not much fun for little Harpo.
Yeah.
it's like there's this serious moment.
She
still can't remember his name.
Even whenever she meets Nemo.
Nemo? Like,
that's a nice name.
It's so good. Well, and speaking of that, I guess this would be a good place to drop this fact. So the most emotional scene in the movie is where, in my opinion, where she is asking Marlin not to leave her. Marlin thinks Nemo is dead.
Yo, that's what she's like, I don't want to forget.
She's like, please don't go away. I don't want to forget. Fun fact about that. When the director first cast Ellen as Dory, the producers worried that because she's a comedian and not an actor, that she wouldn't be able to elicit the right emotions for the scene in which Dory begs Marlin not to leave her.
Yo, she killed it.
However, when it came to recording that scene, those worries turned out to be unfounded. The producers originally told DeGeneres to record a trial run of the scene, go home with the audio, and work on it overnight. Her first take of the so-called trial run ended up being so powerful and heartfelt that the producers used that in the film. Yeah.
Wow.
Tyler had like a moment of shock.
Wow.
So that's her trial that we hear in the film. It was so good that they were like, okay, that's it. Yeah.
That's it. That's a wrap.
Yeah. Okay. No. Moving forward.
Right.
Now.
No further questions.
Right. We're good.
So here's the thing. I was thinking about that scene whenever I was watching it. It would have been so much harder to watch had they not let us know that Nemo was alive.
Right.
Like, imagine watching that and Nemo actually being dead.
That would have been tragic.
Like, that would have been scarring to watch.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
That would have been like Lion King level, like trauma, you know?
Yeah.
Because this guy's literally lost everything. He traveled the entire world, lost the last remaining piece of his family after just getting there at the last split second.
Yeah.
Like, he right now is in that place, obviously, but we know that Nemo's alive.
Yeah.
But had we thought that too, oh my Lord.
I kind of wish that
they would have done that.
I kind of would do. Looking back, just to know,
it would have been too hard.
Just to know what, but it would have been made better by knowing.
Yeah,
like imagine the revelation that, like, because we would have felt the things that Marlin felt.
True.
We all think that Nemo's dead, and then we all find out that he's actually alive. It's like,
I think that, but that combined with Dory's performance at that point, like it was, because like you said, that was a very powerful performance right there.
Yeah.
So both of those combined, that would have took me out. Like I just would have never stopped weeping.
What's so sad?
I would still be weeping today to from 2003.
Right, to this day. What's so sad is when she's lost.
Oh, man.
And she's asking around, like, do you know where I am? You know, like, she's,
I think I lost somebody.
I think I lost somebody, but I can't remember.
Oh,
like,
man.
I'm over here like, friend, I'm sorry, Dory.
I know,
like,
right?
Oh. It's so sad.
Yeah, super sad, super sad. But I did find the part where she did remember everything. Of course, that was super satisfying. That was like, yeah,
yeah.
Like, you know. But then whenever she like confronts the crabs,
oh yeah,
and like and he's like, and there's nothing you can do to make me. And then she just furrows her brow and flings him up above the ocean.
Okay, I'll talk. Friend, she was like, I know what to do.
She said, look, I'm done, homie.
She said,
I've traveled the entire ocean.
Right.
I've lost a friend.
Dory's a savage.
Right.
She said, my goodness.
She said, I grew up in these streets.
These fans rated E for everybody.
Right. I'm not the one, the two, or the three.
Right. Oh man, so good.
Like, it's just, so how did you feel about the part where they got in the net? Like, did you feel like that was unnecessary last minute danger?
No, actually, I feel like that the whole movie was building to that point, because it's at that point where
he shows that he trusts Nemo.
Well, not only that, but the whole thing about where Dory says just keep swimming.
Yeah.
That comes to that moment.
Right.
Nemo tells Marlin, you've got to tell everyone to swim down.
Yeah.
And then, so now he has to trust Nemo.
Yeah.
And then they all start saying, you know, Marlin's like, just keep swimming.
Yeah.
Keep. So then they're all chanting, keep swimming. Keep swimming. And then it shows that when you do just keep swimming, things start to change.
Yeah.
And
things change when you just keep swimming.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's that. We should do that next time.
That one's on the soundtrack too. The Finding Nemo soundtrack.
Right, right. The original song, Just Keep Swimming. But yeah, so to answer your question, I didn't feel like that at all. I felt like that everything had like built up to this is the moment where, because to me, one of the main messages, I won't say the message of the movie, but one of the main messages of the movie is, just keep swimming.
Literally.
Like, things are not going to always go well. You're going to encounter obstacles. Just keep swimming.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
And so, for that, I love that moment.
Yeah.
I did now, get sad when
they thought he died again.
Crushed
Nemo.
I was
like, that was unnecessary.
Yeah, that I agree.
Like, because it also was very short-lived.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's under the net. He was at the top of the group. Like,
and also, how did he not die?
Right.
Like,
right.
Just,
those things are heavy.
Let's be real, you know?
Yeah. I'm like, that was unnecessary.
That would be like that many humans falling on one of us.
Right.
or on a child, you know?
No thanks.
Yeah, for real.
So did you have any comments about the jellyfish and turtle area? That's kind of one of the only areas we didn't really
cover. So the jellyfish, that moment when Marlin realizes that the tops don't sting you, and he's having this moment of like, okay, I know how to get out of this.
Even though I got us into this.
Yeah, because I didn't listen to Dory.
Ooh, I was so mad.
Yeah, he deserved that. But
she didn't.
She didn't, right.
Ooh.
But there's this moment when they're on their way out and they're like racing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that for just a few moments, he's kind of not thinking about what he's doing. It's not about Nemo anymore at that moment. It's not about the pain that he's felt. It's about getting out of these jellyfish, and
100%.
He's having fun while he's doing it.
Yep.
And but then when he turns around and realizes Dory's not there.
Oh man.
And when he goes back in,
that was a transitional point from him being like disregarding just what she's saying and stuff to be like, okay, I need to take a step back. I don't have all the answers, kind of thing.
Right.
You know? And then that moment with Crush, with like when they're in the EAC?
EAC. Yeah, East EAC. Australian Current.
Correct. he he's like, how do you know when they're ready? And then like he just has that wise counseling moment with 150-year-old.
You never really do know, but when they know, you'll know. Yeah.
Yeah, that part for sure. Like that, like those, the combination of those two events starts to transition his helicopter parrot mentality.
Right. Well, and then later, because whenever Dory gets stung, she acquires a scar.
Yeah.
And it's later whenever he has this moment of Dory really wants him to trust her on this. And she's like, come on, trust me on this. And he looks down and sees the scar, and he's like, okay.
Because last time you didn't trust her.
Right. But she got hurt and could, you know, he didn't know if she was dead or alive or whatever.
Well, he didn't come out unscathed either. Like, no. He woke up on the back of a turtle.
Right. Oh, he lives. Hey, dude.
Hey, no hurling on the shell. I just waxed it.
Hey, no hurling on the shell, man. Okay, just waxed it. And Squirt, shout out to my man, Squirt.
Absolutely.
That dude was so, so cool. And the fact that the director voices Crush, he crushed it.
I see what you did there.
Oh, my word. Let's not water this down.
Oh, gosh. That was a very fishy pun.
Yeah, another thing that I appreciated was how at the very beginning, Nemo's like, how old are sea turtles? And Marlon's like, well, if I ever meet a sea turtle, I'll ask him. He does meet a sea turtle.
He does ask him.
Yeah. And the guy's like 150, dude, and still young. Then at the end, he's like, hey, you know, sea turtles? I met one. And he was 150 years old.
Yep.
And then Nemo was like, but Sandy Plankton said they only lived to be 100. He's like, Sandy Plankton.
They got it across the sea. That no one watches Sandy Plankton. Oh, man.
I love that moment. I was
rolling it. Like, he's such a good dad.
Well, and
he really is.
Well, and then when what was heartbreaking, because there's these moments all throughout the movie.
Yeah.
When they're in the whale and they can't get out. And Marlon is like swimming and ramming himself against the teeth of the whale. He's like,
you said, for some reason, I was thinking like a wishing whale.
Whale. I was like,
they're fish. A whale. How can they not get out of a well?
Not a well, a whale.
A whale.
Yeah.
A whale.
A whale. A fish, a large fish, you know, Jonah style.
Right. First, those bristles were really cool. Like they did a really good job.
And the sound. The sound was like so accurate. Yeah. And when he was like, I have to tell him how old sea turtles are. And so I love that they kept that throughout the movie. Like, he's so worried about. And then there's the moments when the whale.
Do I taste good?
And he's like, tell him, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, okay. Woo. And then she's like, stop talking to him. But no, the moment whenever he realizes the water's coming down, she's like,
It's already half 50.
I say it's half full.
Stop that. It's half 50.
she's being a pessimist. Oh, I mean, an optimist. He's being a pessimist.
So funny.
There's so much. He says it's time to let go.
That one was a little tricky. He wants us to go to the back of the throne, or he wants a root beer float. Of course he wants us to go to the back of the throne. That's eating us!
If you can't tell, we've seen this movie a time or two.
Oh, man, that's all I watched when I was a kid.
Over the years. Repeatedly. You got to wear out non-stop. The VHS. That's why you got to get the DVD.
Right.
Because you wore out
the
VHS.
Well, now we have Disney Plus.
Right. Well, thank God for that.
We're not cavemen.
Right. Who do you think we are?
I could never.
Right. So,
such a good movie.
Oh, it's so good. So, a question I have for you, we've kind of hit on this, but just to ask you this directly.
Yeah.
Do you think that the movie holds up visually all these years later?
Yes, 100%.
It's still so good.
I was watching, like I said, I was rewatching. I was like, wow, this is gorgeous. You know?
It's so good.
Like, it's like, I could see this being released this year.
Yeah, and it would be like
that's not an exaggeration. I'm like, this would be passable for today.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, so to me, that says timeless.
I agree.
Very, very, very good. One thing that I loved was at the end of it. Like, first of all, there's that little mini movie of the fish from the fish tank actually escaping. And then the comment Peach makes, that's the shortest red line I've ever seen. I didn't get that joke as a kid. I did now. That's and it was great. Hilarious.
One of the best moments is right there at the end where they're just like floating around. Now what?
And then it goes to the best end credits. I've ever heard in my life.
Really?
I love that song, man. Maybe it's because I've heard it so much.
Remind me what it is. I don't remember.
I'll go sailing.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
It may just be because I've heard it so much growing up, but man, that song,
that's on Tyler's bop list.
Right. Exactly. That's the drop the bop list for right. today. No, but it's so good. Like it.
So at the end, did the movie, did it leave you? Now it's going to be stuck in my head.
Yep.
Did it leave you wanting a sequel?
No.
Really?
No, I had no other questions.
You had no other questions?
No further questions.
Right. Well, especially like, since the tank fish got out.
Well, it also came out in 2003.
Yeah.
So I was not 10 years old.
Right.
I was 8.
Right. But I mean, I didn't know if you, because, you know, sometimes, if I remember, I didn't really care for a sequel either.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say is I don't think that I was at the maturity level of understanding and comprehending what entailed when a sequel came. I think my parents just got me something, and if it was a sequel,
I enjoyed it.
Like, I think I had Lion King 2 and not Lion King 1.
Really?
Yeah.
Lion King 2 is so good.
Dude, I love Lion King 2.
Same.
And I think, like, obviously I've seen Lion King 1, but, like, I remember vividly Lion King 2 being a big portion of my life, yeah. So I'm pretty sure they didn't give me Lion King 1.
I love the play on words of the title, of Lion King 2, Simba's Pride.
Yeah.
Because it goes, has like multiple meanings.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll get into that one day.
Ooh-wee, don't tempt me because that's my movie right there. But yeah, no, I wasn't like, wow, I hope they come out with another one. Like, of course I would want to see more, but like I just rewatched the movie and was content with that.
How did you feel when the sequel was announced?
You mean when I was like 28 years old?
Yeah. Like, were you like excited?
So we had heard rumors about it before.
Yeah.
And it was just like one of those things. Like,
I hope they do that.
Well, yeah, but it was also like I was in high school when I heard rumors about it. I'm like, yeah. This is not going to happen. It's been
so long.
It's been 10 years since yeah. Finding Nemo was released. There's no way they're going to go back and do a sequel this late in the game. Like, I was very, very, very skeptical. I'm like, how are they going to do that? The people that would enjoy it would not know what's going on because the movie came out in 2003.
Yeah.
Not realizing that it's the biggest selling rated G movie.
It's like the best.
Right. But I was very skeptical. I was very receptive to it, but I definitely dismissed it. But then when it was actually announced, I was like, oh,
all right,
going to see that.
Here we go.
But then I was like, what's it going to be about?
What could it be about?
Right. Well, then they released the story. Yeah. Like what it was going to be based on and stuff. And I was like, interesting. But then when I saw the trailer,
I don't remember seeing the trailer.
I saw
it. I know I watched it for sure, but I don't remember.
Well, we don't have to get too much into it being that, you know.
We'll get into that one day.
One day.
One day, but not on this day.
We do have our notepads here.
We do, actually. Right. So we've kind of hit on this, but just, again, to be clear, in your opinion, what is the overall message of the movie?
So, I mean, like, yes, of course, the Just Keep Swimming thing, like that is a very big point of it. If there's any other point to get out of it, it would be for the parents, and that would be, you know, to trust.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, not to, like, just let your kid do whatever, but, like, just the lesson that Marlon learned, you know? Like, not to be so, like, overprotective and uptight and overly cautious that you don't end up enjoying the moment that you're in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and also, I think to say that in another way,
please do.
be teachable. Listen to others. Because repeatedly, he didn't listen to Nemo. He didn't listen to Dory. Yeah. And always something bad happened.
Right.
You know?
For sure.
But
that would definitely be the other big point of the movie, in my opinion. But, yeah.
Bro, you know who's, you know, you mentioned opinions. You know whose opinion is more valuable than yours?
Our listeners.
Mine?
Oh.
That is not true, but I had to set it up in a way to say that. Those seagulls, for all of us kids that were in
school.
We
all said mine. Everyone's nonstop.
Those poor teachers.
We're
all just walking down the hallway.
Mine. Literally, that was like everywhere. I remember that vividly.
Oh,
like,
my word.
They were... For those that hadn't seen it, they were probably so confused.
Oh, my word.
They were probably terrified.
Probably. They're like, it's happening.
The next day, a bunch of children show up just like, mine.
Right.
Man.
Good grief.
Wow. How funny.
So, overall, what would you rate
10 out of
10. 10 out of 10?
10 out of 10.
Really?
Like, the very, I don't know if you noticed or not, I had one criticism, and that was the intensity of Gil.
Yeah.
And normally I can have a list of criticisms.
Yeah.
Like, this was a 10 out of 10 movie, 100%. I have no notes.
Just 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Funny jokes, beautiful animation, great story, satisfying end. I didn't have a desire for a sequel. Like, it was a 10 out of 10 for me.
I have to agree. I have to agree, man. I mean,
I didn't realize that until I just said it out loud.
Yeah.
Like, that is a 10 out of 10 movie.
Well, when you just step back and look at the big picture,
mm-hmm.
everything is perfect.
What do you want to be better about?
Yeah, what needs to be,
right,
you know, different? Maybe the creepy fish at the bottom. Maybe give him a voice actor.
No.
Vin Diesel or something.
Stop it. Well, see, and like, that's in reference to that, Bruce was unsettling creepy, but he was like jump scare creepy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there were different types of scary, and I'm glad that they covered that.
Same.
Like, it was just, it added another layer to it. Like, it was really good.
Yeah, I agree. Well, if you haven't watched Finding Nemo,
what the world?
And you made it this far. Sorry.
Right. I mean, I guess. Yeah. I'm not sorry. It's been like 18 years.
You deserve that.
Right.
It's a really good movie. It's on Disney Plus.
Please go watch it.
We recommend you go watch it. It's really fun.
If they haven't seen Finding Nemo, I doubt they have Disney Plus.
That's true. I mean, it's a really good summer movie too. Like, because it's like the ocean,
true, and
the fishies, and,
right? The light,
yeah. And there's a lot of stuff that we didn't touch on. Like, we didn't talk about Mr. Ray.
Yeah,
we didn't talk about, you know, Nigel. Like, he's like,
yeah,
these are, there's so many good characters.
They're, like, well, they all have their a good personality. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they all stand out.
Well, I will say this about Nigel is whenever he flies in the first time, and he's like, "Oh, what did I mean? What is he doing?" And they're like, "He's using the blah blah blah. Oh, he's been favoring that one,
right?
You know, blah blah blah."
Love.
I don't remember the exact line, but it's just like how
he
and someone in the tank had previously said, "Oh, he's been using that one a lot lately."
Yeah,
it just so good,
so good.
Well, we could go on forever and ever, but we're not going to do that. We're going to spare you of that. But we wanted to just express our thoughts, our opinions, and we give Finding Nemo
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Let us know your thoughts on our Instagram.
You should do that. The links for those accounts will be down in the description. And of course, when I say those, I mean That Table Pod, Tyler's, and mine's.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of The Table. It's a family-friendly podcast that we upload weekly for your amusement. If you like that, head over to Instagram and Twitter, where you can give us a follow at That Table Pod. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and share this podcast with your friends and your family. If you'd like to learn more about other ways you can support the show, take a peek at the description, where you'll find a short list that we've provided for your convenience. We thank you so much for hanging out with us again today. It's been our pleasure to serve you, and as always, until next time,
be blessed.